see, and we are grateful to join millions, if not billions, of believers across the world who today are remembering the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish to welcome those who are visiting with us, but more especially this morning, I'm privileged to acknowledge the presence of my daughter-in-law, who has come with her husband, who happens to be my son. And thank you for my other son also, who is with us. It's a joy and privilege for us to celebrate and remember the birth of Christ. And to do so, I would like to invite us to consider two passages of scripture in the Bible, which will guide us in our reflections together. We will be looking at the Gospel of John and chapter 3 and verse 16. We'll also look at Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 to 25. It is such an honor to bring God's word on a special day like this. As I was preparing, and thank you for those who prayed and who are still praying, I stumbled over a statement that made me think and think again. It says, if you do not need a savior, you do not need Christmas. If you do not need a savior, you do not need Christmas. Notice it doesn't say if you do not want a savior, you do not want Christmas. It is the most popular, most celebrated holidays in the world. We celebrate Christmas for different reasons. Maybe flowers, it may be exchange of gifts. It may be the Christmas tree. It may be the coming together of family. All these are very good reasons. But this morning I thought I would draw your attention to the theme, celebrating the Savior. Celebrating the Savior. Christmas is an occasion that gives each one of us the privilege and honor to celebrate the Savior of our lives. And we do so this morning by reading together John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. Here is a passage of scripture that many of us have memorized from Sunday school days. It reads, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And if you found the passage in Matthew, it is Matthew chapter 1, and we read from verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, and we read from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. What a message to us in this season of celebration. We celebrate the Savior because of the following reasons given to us in these two passages of Scripture. I'm sure there are many other reasons that the Bible does give us, but for this morning we will be selective and consider the two passages. We celebrate the Savior firstly because of God's love for sinners, but secondly because of God's sacrifice for sinners, and third but not least in any way, because of God's salvation for sinners. We celebrate the Savior firstly because of God's love for sinners. John 3:16 opens up by saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The motivation for Christmas is God's love. The motivation for Christmas is God's love. And it is from God, who is our Creator, that we learn all about love. Because in creation, in creating you and I, God created us in love. He created humanity in his image and in his likeness. He allows the sun to shine both on the righteous and the unrighteous. If he chooses to give us snow, it comes for the righteous and the unrighteous. God, in his creation, created us out of love, out of a desire of bringing us into being for his honor and glory. He created us in his image and likeness, and lovingly so, despite what followed with mankind in sinning against God. God's love for sinners is not only shown in his creating us in love, but also in him sending his only begotten Son. I can only imagine on that silent night, as he bid farewell to his Son out of the triune God, and Christ descends from heaven to earth. The Creator was born through the created. He became human. That farewell must have been challenging. That farewell must have been difficult. And yet the Bible informs us that God gave us the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that when he comes, he'll be born to die. He'll be born to die and fulfill the purpose and meaning of what we now call Christmas. God's love for sinners is not only seen in the fact that in creation he creates us in love, and as a father, God the Father gives us his only begotten Son lovingly, but more so also that God himself is the Savior. He who we remember today, Jesus Christ, as that little child born in a manger, is God the Savior, who left his Father's glory and came down to restore the glory of God after man had sinned against God. It is no wonder, as the angels welcomed the birth of Christ, that they resound in this great chorus, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to all men." We celebrate the Savior first and foremost because it is God's love for sinners. But secondly, friends, we recognize that it is the love of God that compelled God to sacrifice his only begotten Son. John 3:16 again informs us, for God so loved the world that secondly he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In God's sacrifice for sinners, he was very deliberate. As we read together in Matthew chapter 1, you notice he says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Then explains to us of how Mary was found to be with child, though she was not married. The husband who loved her so much, protected her, accepted, and the birth of Christ was pronounced, and three names were given to Jesus. It is in these three names that depict God's sacrifice that I want us to reflect a little bit this morning. You might ask, what is in a name? People give names to their children for particular reasons. I have three nieces who were named by my brother-in-law. The first one is Jolene, second one Marlene, and the third one Charlene. I'm sure those names have meanings, but you cannot avoid the rhyme to those names. What about the names that were given to the Lord Jesus Christ? The first one is found in verse 21. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He goes on to explain why. In verse 21, she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christmas, as we know it as a celebration, is all about Jesus. And the name Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. And you remember the equivalent of that in the Old Testament was Joshua, the man who took over from Moses and delivered the children of Israel to the promised land. Yeshua in Hebrew also meant Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh will save. That is the meaning of the name of that little child that we remember at Christmas. The little child who was born to die. I can only imagine how Mary felt or how Mary perceived the experience that she was to give birth to a child who was destined to die. Notwithstanding that the fact that every human being is born to die, and yet it was not an ordinary death. He was going to die on behalf of all of us sinners. This child was prophesied way back in the Old Testament. Scripture has already been read for us from the book of Isaiah. But we can go back even further than the book of Isaiah, and in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, we read about the seed of a woman who will be the solution to sin, the means of salvation. And that seed of a woman is now revealed to us in the New Testament as the baby Jesus. Yeshua, Jehovah, who is salvation. The second name that we come across in this passage of scripture given to our Lord Jesus Christ is the name Emmanuel. We find that in verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. It then reconnects itself to when he is about to ascend into heaven and he promises his disciples and says, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Emmanuel. He who left heaven to live amongst us is described in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 14. In verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God in the heavenly places." He was with God in the beginning. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, the glory that is from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've beheld his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That captures the essence of Christmas, the essence of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he who was very God, and that nothing that was created would have been created, descended and identified himself with us. It is God's presence that is promised, that is received through Mary. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked in the presence of God, worked in the presence of God, lived in the presence of God until they sinned against God. And the only way to restore the presence of God to mankind, the only way to restore the presence of God to his children was to send his only begotten Son, who would become flesh and blood and live amongst us and die for our sins. So, in the Garden of Eden, there is paradise lost. In the coming of Christ, there is paradise found. There is paradise recovered, if you like. Emmanuel is the second name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some Bible scholars would regard that more as a title and the purpose of his coming, to bring down to us the presence of our God, to channel the process of us being forgiven of our sins and being reconciled back to God. God's presence is with us only because Jesus came. And he came as a babe, but he was able to live and die for us. Christ is the third name that we find in our readings today. In Luke chapter 2, we are taught, "For unto us is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. So not only is he called Jesus because he's going to save his people from sin, not only is he called Emmanuel, God with us, reconciling us back to him and allowing his presence with us, he is called the Christ. I'm sure during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were many young boys who were called Yeshua, who were called Jesus. Even today, there are many young boys called Joshua or even Yeshua. But this one was to be called Jesus the Christ. Christ our Lord. The word Christ is taken from the Greek word Christos. The equivalent of that is a Messiah, one who will come and rescue mankind from the power, practice, and penalty of sin. Christos, from which we get the word Christ, in its original Hebrew is the chosen one or the anointed one. Now this takes us back to the temple when only a perfect lamb was worthy to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. So you had to have a chosen lamb that was worthy of sacrificing. You could not sacrifice a lame lamb or sheep. You could not sacrifice a blind sheep. Although sometimes some people are tempted to sacrifice that which was not perfect. And so the Bible will inform us elsewhere that the sinless had to die for the sinful. The righteous for the unrighteous. That great exchange. The one who never sinned had to take our place. That is the import and meaning of the third name that we find in the scriptures. Christ then is presented to us in his introduction of his birth, that he is the Messiah, he is the chosen one or the anointed one. As Christ, he is the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John the Baptist would testify, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And so Luke, writing in the book of Acts in chapter 2, verse 21, he would say this about Jesus Christ, about Emmanuel, and about Christ. He will say, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The name is given for the purpose of our salvation, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the Savior. May I ask this morning, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you acknowledged him, accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you known this Savior sent from above for the sake of redeeming, for the sake of forgiving, for the sake of liberating you and I from our sin and the penalty thereof? Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Make this Christmas count for eternity, because this is the day that the Lord has made and you have rejoiced in his salvation. Let's celebrate the Savior this Christmas. Firstly, because of God's love for sinners. Secondly, because of God's sacrifice for sinners. And thirdly, because of God's salvation for sinners. That famous verse again, John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this verse, the destiny of sinners is decided. In this verse, the destiny of sinners is decided. In that very same chapter, we read in John chapter 3 and verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Let me read that verse again. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him." The third reason is God's salvation for sinners. Why would you go on living in sin, living in darkness, wallowing in sin, when the salvation of God has been presented to us? Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We have the privilege of a message of salvation prophesied in the Old Testament. He was to come as a baby. He was to die as a savior. But it is also pronounced, as we have read together in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. From his birth, we read, here is a son who came for the sole purpose to love us, and love us so much that he was willing to die for our sins. Paul, writing to the book, to the church at Rome, says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Will you not call on him this morning and ask that he might be to you a savior and Lord of your life? Not only was Christ prophesied and pronounced in the New Testament, he is provided for us as a way out of sinful living, sinful practice, sinful life. All we need to do is believe, and we shall receive eternal life. If we do not believe, we will burn eternally, according to the scriptures. The only solution to the power of sin that so enslaves us is this little child, born in a manger, born to die for our sins. The only one who could give us freedom from the practice of sin, it is this little child, born in a manger, born to die for our sins. And the only one who can free us from the penalty of sin, it is this little child, born in a manger, born to die. This Christmas, will you not dedicate your life to this Savior called Jesus, to the Savior called Emmanuel, to the Savior called the Christ? The celebration of God's salvation, the celebration of the Savior, is the essence of Christmas. May this Christmas be such as one that not only reminds us, but helps us to worship this Savior. What should be our response to the announcement that Jesus is born? What should be our responsibility that this little child is born for our salvation? I think for this particular question, and to answer it well and in context, we go back to those who were initially there when the announcement was made. Let's look at the shepherds. Let's look at the angels. Let's look at Mary and the wise men very briefly. How did the shepherds respond to the announcement that Jesus was born? The Bible tells us that they returned, glorifying God and praising God for what they had heard and seen. They went away glorifying God, praising God for what they had heard and seen. The second group are the angels. Of the angels, not one angel, not two angels, but the Bible tells us there was a multitude of angels in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It is this group or multitude of angels that broke in that great chorus, glory to God in the highest. peace on earth and goodwill to man. The shepherds glorified God in great praise. The angels worshipped him in song. And the wise men, as they came to the house where Jesus and Mary and his parents were, when they saw, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, when they saw the star, these are the wise men, they rejoiced exceedingly with joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him, Christ, not the mother. Not the father. They fell down and worshipped the little child. Then, opening their treasures, they offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those three gifts pointed to his death and sacrifice, his resurrection and ascension. What about Mary and Joseph? When Jesus was born, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 verse 9 that Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And later on, what follows is the song that she sings. That was the response. A song of praise, a song of worship, a song of adoration to her God. And what about Joseph? The man who is always left out of the Christmas story. He was a morally upright man and a man full of mercy. Who would marry a pregnant woman when the pregnancy is not yours? And yet, for Joseph, he remained faithful to the instructions from God, remained faithful to his wife. But ever forgiving, faithful and forgiving, morally upright and merciful. We have a lot to learn from Joseph. What shall we do today and what shall we do tomorrow as we remember the coming of our Savior? May it please God that we will remain thankful that he came and died for our sins, that we might be the redeemed of God. May it please God that we will burst into adoration and worship of this our God. May we be found accepting Christ as the sacrifice for our sins. May we celebrate with family. May we celebrate with feasting. But above all else, may it be a time of praising God that Jesus came to die for our sins. Let us pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this occasion, we remember the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to come and be born only to die for our sins. Help us, Lord God Almighty, to be forever thankful that he came to take our place, that we might not be able to pay for our sins. The sinless for us sinful. But we pray also for those of us who are yet to accept him as our Lord and Savior. Lord, by your grace, in your mercy, may you draw all of us to yourself in humble acknowledgement of him as
Savior and Lord of our lives. May we be men and women who will forever desire to worship and adore this great Savior and Lord of our lives. Father, help us celebrate you, because it is the true meaning of Christmas. We ask this through that worthy name of this our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.